Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Professor Jordan Tama, author of the IBM Center report, Maximizing the Value of Quadrennial Strategic Planning. Jordan, your report for the IBM Center has a handful of case studies, and I'd like to delve into each one of them if we can. And the first one up that you profile is the Defense Department and the Quadrennial Defense Review to QDR. Would you tell us more about the QDR? Why does it represent the most well-established, well-honed quadrennial review, and why was it mandated?
So I'll talk first about why it was mandated. Okay. There's an interesting political story about a lot of these quadrennial reviews, which sound like they're just about good governance, which is part of what they are about. But there's often a political motivation behind them, too. And in some cases, this has to do with the relationship between Congress and the executive branch. So in the case of the Quadrennial Defense Review, some members of Congress back in the 1990s who were pro-defense members of Congress thought that the Defense Department was not transforming itself quickly enough to adapt to changes after the Cold War, and thought there was a need for more major defense investments to address emerging security challenges. And they thought creating a QDR would kind of give the Defense Department an impetus to have to think about how the international environment is changing, and then as a result of that, make new investments in defense weapon systems, essentially. So it was a way to kind of push different kinds of investments on the Defense Department and then also help Congress oversee the department. So members of Congress felt that if the Defense Department does a quadrennial defense review where at the end of the process they have to give a report to Congress, Congress can then look at that report and then hold the Defense Department accountable and say, okay, you told us in your quadrennial defense review that you were going to do X. You know, how come you haven't done this? Or it can help Congress make its own decisions about the defense budget. So the Quadrennial Defense Review report goes to Congress. It says, you know, these are our defense priorities. Members of Congress who care about defense could then say, okay, well, you know, if these are our five priorities, then, you know, we need to be spending money here and not there. So it can be helpful to Congress in a constructive way. So that was the origins of it. It's not just longest standing quadrennial review, but I'd say the most well-honed quadrennial review, in part because the Defense Department has a very strong tradition of doing strategic planning. So not just because of this quadrennial process, but more generally, the military has a strong culture of strategic planning. You know, military organizations have to plan very carefully for, you know, war. So it kind of comes naturally to folks in the Defense Department to do something like this. People don't question the value of doing a strategic planning exercise generally, although a lot of folks in DOD find the QDR process itself frustrating, and I'm happy to talk about that.
How has the process evolved over time? And who's involved, and how long does it take?
Yeah, so each quadrennial defense review has been a bit different, mainly reflecting the different style or approach of the Secretary of Defense and other senior defense leaders, and also reflecting just differences of the timing. So generally, the QDR is a very kind of systematic process. It's led by folks in the Office of the Secretary of Defense, so civilians in the Office of Secretary of Defense who are in the policy office and generally responsible for kind of overall policy development on defense. And they oversee a set of working groups which involve not just people from the Office of the Secretary of Defense, but people from all the military services, so uniformed military officers from the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marine Corps, and also the Joint Staff, which is the, you know, part of the military that's integrative, that brings together each of the different military services. And then these people, you know, work together in working groups, and through those working groups digest the results of studies that are done to assess the long-term strategic environment that could affect defense policy and defense spending. So they'll assess, you know, they look at scenarios for what the world could look like in the future, 10 years, 20 years into the future. And then through those scenarios, they make assessments of, okay, you know, if this scenario plays out and, you know, the assessment is that this is, you know, a reasonable possibility that this could play out, what defense weapon systems will we need? So it's used to drive especially the decisions on investments in weapon systems, which for defense are are key because that's a huge part of the defense budget is the, you know, procurement and acquisition of weapon systems. And, but the process has varied a bit, partly based on the just personality of the Secretary of Defense. So I'll give you one story on that. So Donald Rumsfeld came in as George W. Bush's defense secretary in 2001 and started, well, even before 9/11, given the timeline of these quadrennial reviews, they're done in the first year, and it needed to be done by the beginning. Actually, that quadrennial review at the time needed to be done by September of 2001, so he only had 9 months, Rumsfeld. But he thought this whole quadrennial review process was a waste of time because it was viewed as captured by the bureaucracy. Basically, in the end, Rumsfeld had to kind of let a QDR process happen, even though he didn't really want it. But it was not a very good QDR because it, you know, he hadn't really treated it seriously. Other secretaries of defense have considered it to be valuable and have, you know, given it more support.
Well, I mean, they think what they're doing will enable them to realize the vision that their mission is. So, I mean, it's not something that's exactly. You're not casting aspersions
right.
by it's just hard to bring something so big and find and marry it up into a single vision, a unitary vision.
Right. That's right. So that's a good way of putting it. So if you're a Secretary of Defense or another senior leader, and this is true in the other agencies as well, who wants to, you know, reform the department, move it in some new directions, a very structured process is going to be harder to get sort of really kind of cutting edge ideas out of that. So that's one shortcoming. But it also has the positive, you know, aspect that I mentioned earlier, which is it does create buy-in. So it's sort of like a trade-off. If you want more innovation, this isn't the way to go. Buy-in is really important, and it does tend to be important, then this is still valuable. The other shortcoming that can exist with these processes is they're not always as tied to operational guidance. And so these reviews, the Quadrennial Defense Review is an example of this. The Quadrennial Defense Review report is very broad. It sets out broad defense goals. It has some more specific content. It does tend to have content about certain investments in weapons programs, saying we are going to go forward with certain kinds of investments. In some cases, it says, you know, this is going to be the size of the, you know, Army or the size of the Marine Corps, things like that. But generally, there's not much that's very specific or operational. And so you still need to do a lot of stuff after it to actually tell parts of the department, okay, what are we actually supposed to do to carry this out? And that's not always given as much attention.
I found it interesting in reading your report that it's far more common for the QDR, in this case, to generate new initiatives or new ideas, I guess, than prioritize among established programs or shift resources from one program to another. So I found that interesting. Has that always been the case or is that becoming?
Yeah, that's, I'd say with the QDR and with all the other quadrennial reviews I've looked at, there's been very little prioritization and very rare that resources are being shifted from one part of the department to another. And this is because that tends to be more contentious within the department. They're broad vision statements, and there are sometimes new initiatives that come out of them. So it's not the case that they don't have any concrete content. There often will be new initiatives that are driven by changes in the world, new events that have happened. In the QDR case, this occurred with the post 9/11 wars, where the United States was getting into nation building, which it hadn't done for many decades. And the QDRs in that context, for instance, in 2006 and 2010, which were the two QDRs that came out really kind of in the heart of the Iraq and Afghanistan war context, called for shifts in defense strategy and also defense investments toward activities and systems that were well designed to fighting the kind of battles the United States was engaged in Iraq and Afghanistan rather than, you say, preparing for a long-term potential conflict with China, which was something that the U.S. military had been focused on for decades. And so there were new investments that came out that were, you know, clear new initiatives. But this was really – this was enabled by new funding being available. So this was at a time when the defense budget was going up. And so you could invest more in nation building without having to take away from systems designed to deter China, for instance. And so you were just sort of adding rather than subtracting something. But the prioritization tends not to happen because that really tends to be too contentious for people in the department.
One of the things I liked about your report is that after each case study, you outline an assessment of the particular quadrennial review model that we're talking about. In this case, the QDR. I don't know. Do you have any other things that you wanted to add in terms of assessment for the QDR?
For the QDR, so overall, the value it's provided is that it's provided a mechanism for rigorous long-term assessment, the use of modeling and scenario forecasting and other sophisticated tools to assess what the strategic environment is going to be going into the future, 10, 20 years into the future. It's provided a means for the Secretary of Defense to get buy-in throughout the department for some changes that the Secretary thought were important or new initiatives. So secretaries, to the extent they see value in the QDR process, and some of them have seen a lot of value in it. Others have seen less value in it. But when the secretaries who've seen a lot of value in the process have seen it as a way to get their initiatives institutionalized throughout the bureaucracy. Because if the QDR report says something is important for U.S. defense strategy, then everyone throughout the bureaucracy has to accept that. And it then becomes easier to get money allocated to that in the budget process. And so it's been useful in that sense. Where it's been less effective is that it hasn't always been as well connected to the budget process as it could be, mm-hmm. and hasn't always been, you know, implemented in terms of getting to operational guidance as thoroughly as it could be. And with defense, there's also a special challenge stemming from the concerns about keeping some things secret. So there are critics of the QDR who say we should not be doing a QDR at all because why would we want to tell the rest of the world what our defense strategy, you know, for the next 10 or 20 years is? We're signaling things that are better to keep private. And so actually there's legislation pending in Congress that would change the QDR to make it classified, the report classified, but just have an unclassified executive summary. And the idea is that then you'd be able to say more that's meaningful, because if the report's unclassified, you're going to have a lot of vague statements, which is generally the case with the QDR. So the report is very broad, and sometimes, you know, it's so broad that it may not be as meaningful as it could be if more specific statements were being made.
How has the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review, QHSR, helped DHS? We will explore this question and so much more on our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.